Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mouse Ears Podcast, where we talk about all things travel, but mostly Disney. Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys Travel.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mouse Ears Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Brooks, back from my week break. And with me are just the ladies of the Mouse Ears Podcast. We have Jenny in North Carolina. How are you doing?
Hi, Jenny. I'm doing well. Welcome back.
Thank you. And we have Steph down there in the Floridian state, Florida.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. And with us tonight, Kelton sadly cannot be with us. Man, he just works too much. He needs to take a break once in a while.
Oh, yes.
But with us tonight, we have a special guest. You know him. You love him. We have Robbie up in Mizzou. Robbie, how are you doing?
Hey, guys. Happy to be back. I am ready to do this. I'm ready for Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
aren't we all? Speaking of Halloween, okay, I saw this the other day, and I have to ask y'all about it, and I even have it written down. Y'all know the song, The Monster Mash?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. You know, it was a graveyard smash. Okay. I even have it written down here. Okay. With The Monster Mash, everyone on YouTube, you can see it here. The Monster Mash is when they're in there, they're talking about the Monster Mash song. It's talking about the Monster Mash dance, which is a dance that you do to the Monster Mash, right? That's how it canonically goes. However, the song that we all know as the Monster Mash is not the song that they refer to in Monster Mash as the Monster Mash song.
Brain hurts.
What?
Yes. Exactly.
This is some Inception stuff.
I was going to say, exactly. Is this like a butterfly effect kind of thing? Because
Mandela effect? I don't know.
Yeah. Like I'm trying to keep up. Yeah. And I want to say I understand, but there's so much Monster Mash going on. You lost me. Robbie, any hope?
Well, I'm sorry, guys. I got dropped. The ghoulies were playing with my internet connection.
So talking about the Monster Mash song.
Right.
The Monster Mash song that we all know is talking about the Monster Mash dance.
They did the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash. It was a graveyard smash.
Smash.
So they're doing the Monster Mash dance. But the dance that they're doing it to is to the Monster Mash, but that's not the Monster Mash song that we know of. The song that we know is about the dance that they're doing to a completely different Monster Mash.
So it's like Inception, but with Frankenstein and Dracula. And we don't know what the real Monster Mash is what you're getting at?
Yes.
I'm so confused.
And that goes into
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yes. And that goes into our episode. We're talking about Halloween Horror Nights. That's right.
Everyone's brains are hurting before the episode even starts.
Wait,
what an
so
entrance.
Thrillers like that too? Because they, they actually says, this is Thriller. Like he's saying it's Thriller, but you're being thrilled by it. So
right. And at the end, is he alive? Is he one of the monsters?
Yeah, and like what was Vincent Price's, deal with the whole thing?
I don't know. Who's Billie Jean? We never know these things.
That's a whole other podcast, you guys.
Yes. Yeah.
But before we get into everything, everyone, again, welcome to the Mouse Ears Podcast. If you're watching us on YouTube, help us spread more magic. And if you love all things travel, but mostly Disney, and also strange theories that may come up in my mind in the middle of the night, once you click that like button, subscribe to our channel, and smash that little bell for your VIP pass to be notified for every new and special episode. You might learn a thing or two, or you might wake up in the middle of the night thinking about Monster Mash.
These guys already educated me before we even started the episode on the latest and greatest Disney news.
Yeah. So going into the news, we have special anchor Steph for the new news. Steph?
Do I not get a jingle? The right one. I'm waiting for my cue.
He's not like me now.
I am not Colton. I am sorry.
All right. I really do love that jingle. For all of you guys listening out there in the Webernet, if you like all of the effort and time that Brooks and Kelton have put into finding all of our music and songs and jingles and whatever craziness, let us know, because they've got a lot more craziness in their bag. That's for sure.
Speaking of, we have a mystery noise that we couldn't guess what it is. So everyone, what is this sound? If you know what that sound is, let us know in the comments. So, Steph, on to you with the new news.
All right, so I'm going to try and get through this as quickly as possible because there is a lot of new news for this week that we're covering, plus a lot for our topic today with Robbie. So bear with me. First stop, Disney announced a new Lightning Lane Premier Pass pilot, which will launch in Disneyland on October 23rd and Walt Disney World on October 30th. This new and limited cut-the-line experience includes one entry to almost every Lightning Lane entrance at any time during the day of purchase. So Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, Epcot, Disneyland, or Disney California Adventure. Actually, Disneyland and Disney California Adventure are one. Or serve as one pass. There's a lot of details that comes with this new pass. So I really encourage all of you guys to check out the Mouse Ears blog website. We have an extensive blog on there for you guys to be able to read, review, and get familiar with this new pass that's being offered later this month. Next on the new news is the Candlelight Processional narrators for the 2024 Festival of the Holidays have finally been announced. Yes, it is crazy to believe that the holidays are just around the corner. I always feel guilty like talking about Christmas and the holidays when we still haven't even gone through Halloween. You know what I mean? Because I love Halloween. And I want to enjoy it. I want to enjoy all my decorations, you know, the purples and the oranges. And then, you know, my mind's already preparing for Christmas. And it's like, oh, but why? Anyways, this year there will be three new celebrity narrators, and the rest will be returning fan favorites. These new narrators include Nico Santos on 12/1 and 12/2, so December 1st and 2nd. Titus Burgess on December 8th through 12/10, so December 10th.
And I'm lastly, excited about him.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And lastly, Ralph Macchio from December 13th through the 14th. Dining packages for the Candlelight Processional will open up to guests starting October 29th. You don't want to miss this holiday favorite. Personally, very excited for Josh Gad. I don't know if I'll be able to make it to see him, but that would be my number one choice. And he's the first narrator of the list. Moving along, the new Disney Cruise Line Megaship, the Disney Adventure, will officially open for booking starting on December 4th, 2024, depending on your Castaway Club member tier. This magnanimous ship will set sail out of Singapore starting December 15th, 2025. With 3- and 4-night offerings, mainly. There is a select 5-night itinerary, but we're starting the inaugural season 3 and 4 nights for the most part. For more details on the incredible new dining experiences and the first ever, actually, I might be totally wrong about that, but I'm going to get excited about it anyways, Roller Coaster at Sea, visit mouseearsblog.com because there are 2 blog articles up on the most recent news that was released on the Disney Adventure this week. But yeah, there's like the whole Marvel Landing section is going to have 3 different attractions. one of them being a full-on roller coaster on a cruise ship, which, I mean, I know there's like water slides and things like that, but like a full-on roller coaster, it's exciting.
You can get seasick and motion sick at the same time. Yes.
You know,
pack your dream, I mean.
No kidding. The other thing that was really, really exciting too about that announcement was the Mike and Sully restaurant, which is like a, if I remember reading correctly, it was like a restaurant that obviously was inspired by the Monsters, Inc. Japanese restaurant, but it's got like three different sections to it. So different, three different cuisines or food style, like one's like hibachi, one's like sushi, one's whatever. And yeah, it just seemed so cool. And that's one of the premier dining experiences. But if I was on that ship, I would absolutely make a reservation for that one. But I'm also a big Monsters, Inc. fan. All right. Yeah. Anyways, Brooks, do you want to take this one? This next new news?
I mean, I can.
So, I want you to. So thank you.
Okay.
For offering.
So, being voluntold. So, everyone, a new partnership has been made between Brooks Running, not the world famous new news anchor Christian Brooks Runner, and Run Disney. So, if you're not familiar with Brooks Running, they make incredible running shoes, apparel. I own several pair, not just because my name is Brooks, but they are just incredible shoes. Starting in 2025, Brooks Running will be the official running shoe for Run Disney. I mean, and also I think Brooks is going to be coming out with Disney-themed running shoes.
Oh my goodness.
Take my money when they do a Donald Duck. Take my money.
Yes. So,
everyone, I mean, I have to ask, are you a Brooks fan?
I mean,
absolutely.
I'll let you decide which one.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Hashtag, I mean, number one fan.
So, it, Brooks Running, Brooks Runner. I mean, you can't lose. So, Steph, back to you for the rest of the new news.
Thanks, Brooks. I felt it appropriate for you to announce that one. All right, so the last two news that we're going to cover today. And yes, people, there was a lot more news than what we're talking about today. But for the sake of time, we're just going to limit ourselves. So National Geographic Expeditions announced two new private jet itineraries across the continents by private jet and South American Discovery by private jet. If you're interested in learning more about these or other National Geographic expeditions, there are quite a few discounts out there. Mm-hmm. Reach out to our amazing sponsors at fairytalejourneys.com to get paired with an agent and receive all and any of their services, which are all for free. Lastly, and quite possibly the most epic news of the week, no pun intended. Can I get a drum roll? Can I request this? Epic Universe is officially opening May 22nd, 2025. Select tickets and bookings for the new Helio Resort and the park will begin to go on sale October 20th, 2024. So next week, but by the time this is on air, it'll be this week. Contact your FTJ agent to get on their waiting list before booking opens. You don't want to miss out. You don't want to wait, because when they release these tickets, it's going to be in limited increments. And they're first going to open up to annual pass holders for Universal. And they're the only ones that are going to be able to purchase a single day ticket to Epic Universe. Then, after annual pass holders, they'll open up to the general public. And you will need to purchase a 3-day ticket to Islands Adventure, Universal Studios, and Epic. I repeat, there are no single day tickets to Epic Universe. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, again, limited quantity. They're going to try and crowd control. So get on a waiting list, get with an agent, get with FDJ. You don't want to miss out. If you want to be there for the opening, you know, month, this is what you want to do. Guys, I want to hear from you guys. What do you think about this quote unquote epic news?
Don't
all talk at once.
We're just so flabbergasted. We're just taken aback. I mean, it made us speechless.
It feels like it's been such a long wait, and to now be so close, and especially the short amount of time we have as agents to prepare for booking. You know, all of our clients that are on our wait list and ourselves, like it's going to come up really fast. And then, you know, I think that I would even be happy just staying at Helios and just overlooking the park. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just but taking the FOMO in was all set in
yeah. real quick.
Yeah.
The FOMO was set in real yeah. quick.
And yeah. really, like you say, it seems like it's taking forever. They have put up that park.
They have. Quick. It went up fast, and it mm-hmm. looks beautiful. Every week we watch the updates where they're showing all the aerial shots, and we've been watching it just go up, you know, little brick by brick and tree by tree, and it looks
step
beautiful.
Step by step.
So the question is, does our audience want to see us, the Mouse Ears, there on the opening week?
Yes. Yes, you do. Yes.
I don't know if we can make it, but yeah.
We are going to try, by golly.
We're going to try. Yeah.
We need to send out this Huzang bat signal.
The bat signal.
Mike's like, I don't know. I really don't want to go to Islands of Adventure and Universal by force just to go to Epic. I'm like, take it or leave it, buddy.
Yeah.
Robbie, what do you think? Are you trying to go there or trying to wait until the craziness dies down a little bit?
So I definitely blew up the Running Ohana chat this morning when they announced that pass holders such as myself were going to get access next week. We did talk about, you know, things like money and PTO and how unimportant those are when it comes to announcements like this.
I mean, I can take leave without pay.
Yeah,
I'm not judging.
Love to be there. Last week I was lucky enough to be down in Orlando, and I got to check out the preview center for Epic Universe and take a deep dive look at the model. Spent probably about an hour, honestly, just looking it over at all the little details. I'm so excited about the queue for one of the rides in Dark Universe. The queue just looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's great. I am pumped. If you guys do get to go for opening weekend, see if you can bring some of your like friends and honorary guests to come along with you for commentary.
Robbie, you're definitely I'm telling you right now, yeah, if I'm going, you're going.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, do you think that does it for new news?
Yes, it does. Thanks, Brooks, for letting me take over new news this week.
Well, anytime. We're all in this together. But as we...
I'm waiting for that joke to get old.
That never gets
never,
old.
Never. And I think we should transition to trivia.
Our
new trivia master, Jenny. Jenny, you want to take it away?
I will take it away. All right. So today's trivia question is brought to you by the Magic Candle Company. So next time you want a Disney-inspired scent to fill your home or office, whether it's a candle or a room spray or more, use our special promo code MOUSEEARS for 15% off. That's MOUSEEARS for 15% off your order with Magic Candle Company. What scent, Brooks, did you just show for the audience?
That is the Mouse Waffles.
Mouse Waffle.
Does it smell like syrup?
I'm waiting for them to make the Chiro Mickey Waffles or Chiro Mouse Waffles.
Oh my goodness.
Had those at
Crystal Palace
and made me seriously rethink my whole nutrition goal.
Calories don't count at Disney. Calories don't count at Disney.
I can gain a couple of points in my A1C. It's fine.
You know, I'm going to let Michael know right now. I want a sticker that says calories don't count at Disney. Because with how much I say it, it should have been a sticker already.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right. So today's trivia question. What was Halloween Horror Nights originally called? It was not always Halloween Horror Nights.
Nope.
So if you drop it in the chat.
Yep. And by the way, if you're watching it live on YouTube, we'll set it as a premiere. There'll be a live chat and there'll be a timestamp. You can put in your guess now. And if anyone puts in the correct guess, you may get a special sticker from Sticky Mike and the boys. We can potentially make it happen. So.
Alrighty, so we will announce the answer at the end of this episode, so make sure you stick around. All right, Steph, back to you.
No, back to Brooks.
Back to thank Brooks. You. All right.
Oh, back I got this Brooks. Hot potato. Yeah.
Well, we really just want to hear from Robbie, so
I mean, that's true. Right. I
mean, he is the star of the show today.
He's a star every day.
Well, thanks, buddy.
So, as we mentioned earlier, we're talking about Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios Orlando. So we're talking about especially Orlando because they do have Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios Hollywood in California, Singapore, and Japan. Halloween Horror Nights, if you don't know, is a separate ticket event. Running on select dates from August 30th through November 3rd. Those are the dates this year at Universal Studios Hollywood. And at Orlando, I think it's the same at Hollywood. I'm not sure. But I'm going to get like trivia on saying Hollywood Horror Nights. This is going to be awesome. So we're talking about Halloween Horror Nights. Our special guest, Robbie, was lucky enough to go for all the festivities this year. And not just the Halloween Horror Nights, but there are other stuff that you can do in addition to going to the separate ticketed event. They also have special tours behind the scenes. And Robbie did it all this year. So I'm really looking forward to hearing his thoughts. But just a little bit going into before, there are 10 haunted houses this year at Halloween Horror Nights. And they are in no particular order: A Quiet Place, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, Insidious, The Further, Universal Monsters, Eternal Bloodlines, and Steph, I greatly apologize if I mispronounce this next one. Is it Monstruos, The Monsters of Latin America, Slaughter Cinema 2, The Museum, Deadly Exhibits, Major Sweets Candy Factory, Goblin's Feast, and The Triplets of Terror. And if you're not watching us on YouTube, I highly recommend watching us on YouTube.
Yes.
But Robbie was just holding up one of the special merch that had all of the haunted houses on it. And
I love that.
Yeah. So growing up, I didn't get to go to that many haunted houses, but I love haunted houses. I love a good scare. But it is just, they take it to a whole nother level. In addition to the haunted houses, they have 5 sinister scary zones. I believe this is Kelton's favorite part. You have Enter the Blumhouse, duality of fear, demon queens, swamp of the undead, and torture fair. They also had a nightmare fuel nocturnal circus, special overlays on certain rides. That was the Mummy and Dagon Alley, Men in Black, and Rip It Rocket. You also had the Death Eaters encounters, specialty food, and themed merch. Also, correct me if I'm wrong, Grobby, but Cabana Bay even had a special theme going on for Halloween Horror Nights.
So, unfortunately, this year they did not. All of the hotels redid their bar areas. Mm-hmm. Are you guys still able to hear me? Sorry, I'm having some internet connection.
Oh, no, you're good.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, and Cabana Bay last year and in years previous actually had their own little scare zones. Last year it was all about Chucky, everybody's favorite little doll friend, that had some great photo opportunities. I don't know if it was the impact of the hurricanes this year, but the room that is normally set aside for that experience at Cabana Bay was actually more of a rec center for kids. They had games and things set up. They had kids' movies playing, crayons.
So its own little scare center for certain people.
Yeah, depending on how you feel about children, absolutely.
Yeah. So, but then we talked about, the special tours. You had the Halloween Horror Nights private VIP tour, which is a guided VIP walking tour with priority VIP entry to haunted houses and participating park attractions, while on tour with the RIP tour guide. And then also there is the Behind the Screams Unmasking the Horror Tour, which is a daytime tour on where do you get to pick the houses you want to go to, Robbie?
You don't. So they are pre-selected. Okay. In years past, you didn't actually know which houses you were getting. And they do vary depending on whether you did the 3-house or the 6-house tour. This year was the first time that they really said, okay, here's how we're doing it. The 6-house tour consists of these. The 3-house tour consists of these. And they actually had it so that it was different houses with no crossover. So if you do both, you are able to see 9 of the 10 houses that were on offer.
I have FOMO not going with you, Robbie. I have to try to plan that for next year.
Oh, next year we are there.
Imagine if we could plan it where you do Halloween Horror Night, an epic universe, and a tour, and a new hotel. I mean, it would be a whammy of a trip.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Bucks, I'm no serious. Hey, Robbie, even Mike was like, oh my gosh, Robbie's gonna be on today's episode. I'm like, yeah, it's like, I like that guy. Let's do it. Group trip.
Love it.
That'll be our reunion trip for 2025.
The reunion
game. Right? Yeah.
And I don't know how Kelton's gonna feel about Halloween Horror Nights.
Well, he said he'll be hanging out at Margaritaville.
Yes. He'll wait for us. But maybe he'll do the tours, depending. We'll get more into it about how the level of scary of the tours versus the, you know, the special event, actual Halloween Horror Nights. But we'll get into that.
Yeah. So, Robbie, we have some questions for you. Hopefully you're ready for it. First, what is the meaning of love? No, I'm kidding. what were your overall thoughts of this year's Halloween Horror Nights compared to others?
Yeah, so a little bit of background on my experience with HHN. This was my fourth time going. My first time was actually 10 years ago. Got to go back in 2014. Took a long time for me to get back down to Florida to both HHN as well as just Disney World and Universal in general. So after that, I went the previous 2 years and then this year. So 22, 23, 24. For 22, 23, and 24, I did do the RIP tour for all three. So I think I can pretty consistently compare what it's like because I did get to do all of the houses. I'll say this. for 2024, they had some of the most exciting IPs that they have had in a very long time. I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan. I think even the last time I was on, I was probably wearing a Ghostbusters shirt. So I was pumped for Frozen Empire to have its own house, and it was incredible. They had A Quiet Place, which is another movie series that I am just absolutely gaga about. And I was so excited to see what they would do with the clickers, or whatever you want to call the aliens from on high. And they did a great job. Every year they have been doing since, I think, 2017, a house that continues the story of the classic Universal Monsters. This year's house, Eternal Bloodlines, was actually about the progeny, or the survivors of the original monsters. So it was featuring the Bride of Frankenstein, Dracula's daughter, I don't remember exactly what her name is, but a female werewolf who was bitten by the original. I think she was French. And then Van Helsing's daughter. I don't remember exactly what her name is, but she has red hair and she looked a lot like Sansa Stark from Game of Thrones. So we just called her Sansa Van Helsing. And it's all about her taking revenge on Dracula and his family for taking out her brother and her father. So the IPs were just fantastic. And the houses themselves, they never disappoint. They are just an incredible, overwhelming experience to go through. The one thing that I was kind of disappointed in this year was actually the scare zones. They just did not hold up to years past. And Brooks, I know you read the five scare zones, but buddy, I'm going to have to argue with you that there really aren't five scare zones. And we can get into that and why I say that, but it's not a real number. The limit does not exist for any Mean Girls fans out there, because yeah, it was not really five scare zones. So that was a little disappointing, but everything else about it, fantastic.
Would you say some of those scare zones, like you look at them, it's like, you don't even go here.
Well, one of the scare zones, the Swamp of the Undead, I think it was called. I mean, I know that we had just gone through a hurricane, and I am going to be sensitive about that, but it just kind of felt like Florida. It was green and wet and humid and gross. I was like, all right, was that the scare zone, or was it just the walk on the sidewalk in Florida?
Was that our trip in September? Just the wet and humid and gross? Oh, so Robbie, I imagine what your answer will be to this, but did you have a favorite haunted house, and what was it?
I had several. Ghostbusters is phenomenal. I do want to check real quick before I go too much farther into this, because I know this is a family friendly show. I can definitely take care of my own mouth, but the content of HHN by its very nature is a little bit more adult. So I wanted to check on just how detailed I can get in the descriptions of what some of these houses do.
I mean, I would say
that we're giving people enough disclosure. Hey, this can get graphic. If that's something that you're not okay with, maybe skip ahead for some future questions that we might have for Robbie. How about that?
Go ahead.
Give us the details, because there is people that do want to know, like myself.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is your content warning. This is your spoiler warning. I'm going to give you a 1, 2, 3, and we're going. All right. So, yes. Ghostbusters is a phenomenal house, and one of the things that I really, really loved about it, it wasn't just Frozen Empire. Yes, that was the majority of the house, and it hews very closely to the plotline of the film, but they made sure to include nods and creatures from all of the other Ghostbusters films. Do you want to see a terror dog? Well, Vince Clortho, the Keymaster, is in this house. You want to see a green spud? Our old buddy Slimer is present. And he's waving at you to keep on going. How about some mood slime from Ghostbusters 2? Heck yeah, that's present in the house. And you even get some other spooks and specters from some of the previous films. And even a cut ghost from Frozen Empire, who is only viewable within the deleted scenes. But they had already created it for the house, and he is present. So you can see him in his full 3D real glory. So yeah, That was a pretty phenomenal house. A Quiet Place blew my mind. They did such a good job. So many of these houses are reliant on the phenomenal craftsmanship and acting ability and timing of the scare actors that Universal employs. But they actually stepped it up a notch over at A Quiet Place, because the sheer size of those aliens that are constantly attacking our heroes, you can't really do it with the scare actors. So they used full animatronics. They used puppetry of the highest caliber. And you had these 10-foot tall aliens just popping out of walls and coming out of the ground and coming around corners just right in your face. And it just was absolutely incredible. So both of those houses just really, really blew me away with their attention to detail and just how immersive they were. I forgot one IP, the Insidious franchise. That is a big one. It's a newer one for me. I actually just saw the first three movies about a week before I went down, because I somehow managed to miss all three of them. And I still have two to go.
How on earth did you watch all three in 1 week?
I literally watched the third one on the plane ride down to Orlando, holding my phone very close because I didn't know if there was anything, you know, too bad in it. There was a little girl sitting next to me. So I was like, okay, here we go. Not the best viewing experience, but I still really enjoyed the movie. But yeah, if you're a fan of that, they have characters and ghosts and demons from all five films, even the ones that I haven't seen. The Behind the Screams tour did give me a little bit of info on how they work. They are all present, and that house literally has the most scares that HHN has ever put into a single house. There is a point where you go through about a 75-foot hallway that features no less than 23 different spots for scare actors to jump out and grab you, or grab at you, because they don't actually touch you. It was awesome. Just awesome.
Was there one that, what would you say was the most popular houses?
Insidious and Quiet Place had some of the longest wait times. Ghostbusters was about mid-range. And then of the original houses, the one that was consistently busy was actually Major Sweet's Candy Factory. That is a great house too. And I am a big, big fan of it. It has a little bit of a lineage, particularly for me. 2 years ago, the first time that I went for the RIP tour and kind of reignited my Disney and Universal fandom, or at least my physical appearance at their parks, one of the scare zones that year was actually Major Sweet's Candy Parade. And the story, again, content warning, was about this magnate named Major Sweets who comes back to this town and decides to open a candy factory. It's very exciting. The people are thrilled to have him there. He's going to be providing jobs. And on Halloween night, he decides that he's going to throw a parade giving free candy to all the children of the town. What they don't know is the candy is not only poisonous, it actually drives the kids insane and causes them to go and kill all of their parents and every single adult that they see.
This is why kids don't need to eat candy.
Pleasant.
Yeah, well, creative. What this house does is it's actually a prequel to literally the hours before that first scare zone from 2 years ago. You're a drone taking kids on a field trip to the factory to try the candy so that Major Sweets knows whether or not his devious plan is going to work. And as you work your way through the house, there are clocks around. We may or may not know this, but HHN always starts at 6 o'clock every year. When you first enter the house, the first clock you see shows that it's about 5:43 p.m. on October 31st. There's a calendar there too. As you keep going, if you keep watching the clocks, it gets closer and closer to six until the very last clock you see in one of the final rooms shows that it is 5:57. And that infamous parade from 2 years ago is about to start in just a few moments. So I loved that. I loved the attention
that, is awesome.
You know, that they put into
that is
continuous storytelling.
That's so, brilliant. Can you imagine being part of that creative team?
Oh,
that's awesome.
A dream.
That's awesome.
That would be
Thank
amazing.
You for sharing with us, because seriously, that I had no idea, and I absolutely love that. I love a good background story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had a question real quick. So we were talking about which were the most popular houses. did you have Express Pass this time around?
So that was the plan. That was the intent. When I originally set this up, the way that the trip was supposed to go is the first night we were going to do the RIP tour, which has built-in Express Passes. In fact, it's got a, we'll call it a Super Express, because you actually jump in front of even the folks with Express Passes. And the next day, we would have done the Behind the Screams Unmasking the Horror tour. And then that night, we would have gone back with Express Passes to hit all of the houses again, and just get our, you know, our second, third, fourth run through of any of the ones we really wanted to do. Hurricane Milton had some different plans. It hit the two nights that my buddy John and I were supposed to be at HHN. So I had to do some scrambling. And I will say that the folks at Universal were so accommodating and so helpful in trying to help me get everything rescheduled. Spent about a half hour on the phone while at Animal Kingdom, actually, trying to get my tours rescheduled. And I was able to get the Behind the Screams and the RIP rescheduled to the following Saturday, which is what we ended up doing. That was the only night I got to go this time. So it was quite a lot to fit into a single day. But I will say that last year I did the Express Pass and I found it to be, if not necessary, extremely helpful. Speaking for years past when I went without Express Passes, you could get maybe 3, 4, 5 of the houses in if you're willing to stay there pretty much all night, because you're looking at consistently wait times between 45 minutes and 2 hours. And it's just tough to get it done. With the Express Passes, you can usually get through a line in 25 minutes or less. Sometimes you can even walk on depending on what the house is.
So you would say that the lines for this time around too consisted of like 45 minute to 2 hour wait range?
It did. You know, it was a little different this time because I think so many people that were there had had their plans reorganized or shifted, and it was a Saturday night, which is definitely the hardest night to do it. Yeah, we did see wait times were consistently over an hour for just about every single house.
And I think, and I absolutely love Halloween Horror Nights. I haven't been in too long. Those lines are not fun.
No.
They're makeshift lines for people that have never been. They're not, there's no built-in queue like we have always talked about Disney having, you know.
No entertainment.
Interactive stuff. Yeah. It is, we're talking rope and we're talking a silver a post, and you're just crammed in there like sardines behind some of the buildings in the parks. And standing in those lines for an hour plus is very boring.
Yep.
And it can get very hot. And just
wet too, depending on the weather.
Yeah. But anyways, that's good to know. I can imagine that A Quiet Place had probably an average of 2 hours. I saw like some pictures and videos and that one just seemed, I mean, I didn't see all the lines. That one I know was towards the front of the park and just consistently had a very long line.
Yeesh. Yeah, they always put the, and it makes sense, they put the IPs, you know, the known property right up front, because that's that's the big draws. And those are where your long lines are going to be. If you're there just to be scared and try and experience everything, it's worth it to go to the opposite end of the park. In fact, some of the best houses are the ones that they put way out in their undeveloped fields where they've got their storage sheds for floats and their Mardi Gras stuff and everything that they temporarily will convert over to HHN houses, because not a lot of people are willing to walk that far. I mean, Brooks knows what race pace is, but even at race pace, it'll take you 10, 15 minutes just to get over there to get in the line. And those are not bad. Like we kept checking the times after we finished our RIP tour just to kind of see what it was. And they were 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. They never went above that just because they're so far on the other side of the park.
That's a pro tip, honestly, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, thanks for indulging me in those questions.
Of course.
Yeah. So moving away from the houses for a minute, you got a little bit into it. So we're going to go ahead and get into the, I guess you say the quote unquote scare zones.
Yeah. Okay.
2024.
So let's talk about it. So in particular, last year's scare zones were the probably the best that HHN has ever done. Are you guys familiar with the HHN icons where they have like a figurehead character that is kind of like the poster child every year for HHN?
Mm-hmm. They had Dr. Something last year, right?
Yeah, Dr. Oddfellow. Bonus points for
that.
Yeah. Atta girl.
I knew there was an F in there. I wanted to say Dr. Facilier, but like obviously I'm just wrong. He was a doctor.
That would be really interesting if Dr. Facilier had an appearance at HHN.
Honestly, though, let's talk about that for a second. Imagine if they did like Mardi Gras, but like flip it around for Halloween, and they had some what are those? I don't know what they're called. The medians. Oh, that'd be creepy. That'd be cool, creepy.
I have to share. I got for my trip out to California for the Disneyland Halloween half marathon, I got a new shirt. It's got like Dr. Facilier's face and hat with like the skull makeup, and it says "Fortunate Soul" on it. I did have a chance to meet Donald.
I love Dr. Facilier. That's awesome. That is awesome.
My hand and I said, "Why don't you shake a poor sinner's hand?" Oh, he loved it. It was a great interaction.
Oh, I want to see that. Side note, totally unrelated. Did you do Oogie Boogie or no?
I did.
That will be for another episode and another conversation. But anyway, scare zones, please.
Boogie and Mickey's Not So Scary this year. So
you are just all Halloweened out right now, aren't you?
Oh, I got for plenty more. But yeah.
Oh, I want to be you when I grow up.
All right.
Sorry. Continue.
So yeah, last year's icon was Dr. Oddfellow, and he was actually introduced years before as kind of a side character for another icon. So I don't think a lot of people realize this, but there is an ongoing narrative throughout HHN with these icons, the way the scare zones work, the stories behind some of the houses, including the sequel houses, that is a really, really interesting thing. And it's not something that you can get unless you seek it out. It's not going to be handed to you. It's not spoon-fed to you. You have to go and you have to look for this stuff. They've got a great podcast that I didn't even know about until this year that kind of gets into this stuff. But the thing that was great about last year is Dr. Oddfellow is this immortal who is a soul collector. He steals people's souls to continue his own life. And the way that they did the five scare zones, they were actually different periods throughout Oddfellow's life. All five of them took place in different decades. So you had like the early 1900s, you had the swinging 20s, you had the 50s, you had the free loving with vampires in the 60s. And they told this story about this guy and the way that he has altered his appearance and altered the way that he is going around collecting souls. And it was chef's kiss, you know, Halloween chef's kiss. So maybe monster bite. This year, they didn't do any of that. Their icons this year are called Sinister and Brooks. Do you remember the other one? I'm actually drawing a blank, but it was these two female icons. The thing that they thought was really clever, and I guess it is they replaced the E's in their names with threes because this is the 33rd HHN. And these two icons were supposed to represent psychological torture and physical torture. And one of the scare zones, the very first scare zone, and I'm going to use air quotes from now on when I call this a scare zone, is it was literally a 25-foot platform with them standing on top of it. And that's it. That was the scare zone. And
sinister and surreal.
Sinister and surreal. Thank you, Brooks. Appreciate the alley-oop. So sinister and surreal with threes instead of E's. And they stood up there and they just walked around and looked down menacingly. And on top of it, they weren't always there because on occasion they would leave their platform to go to their own individual scare zones elsewhere in the park. So when we walked in, they weren't there. It was actually just an empty platform way above us, a fog machine. And that was it. And I was like, wait. This doesn't count as a scare zone. Negative points on this one. So yeah. I have a little hard time saying that there's five.
What they should have done is the scare zone is getting up on that 25-foot platform and be surrounded by the sisters.
There you go. So. Yeah. I guess they did have the usual chainsaw gang, which has been a staple of H.H. Shin for decades. That's there. Those are, for those that don't know, there are a group of hooligans. I just like that word, so I'm going to use it. They run around with chainless chainsaws, and they will absolutely charge at you while revving them up, which is a lot of fun, especially if you scare easily. So that was one of the scare zones. We already talked about the Florida scare zone, which was just a bunch of swamp. Yeah, so that one, meh. As for the other three, the torture fair was phenomenal. Imagine going to a Renaissance fair, but everybody is like covered in blood and guts. And rather than selling turkey legs, they're trying to sell you weapons. Like, I actually haggled with a vendor at his booth about different types of like mallets and swords and blades that I don't know the names of, which was a great interaction as he was trying to sell me on this stuff.
So probably more historically accurate of a Renaissance fair.
I would say so. Yeah, it was, yeah. It was gnarly. And I loved it. So that one was pretty cool. And then I'm actually blanking on what the other ones were. Oh, the Blumhouse. So this is another one that I actually found a little disappointing. Just because last year, HHN introduced the team of Megan dancers. And we're talking about Megan again with a 3 instead of an E. Wonder where they got that idea. That would randomly appear in the park as a group of young women all dressed as Megan that would do a choreographed dance. And it was one of the coolest things in the world. The thing that was hard about it is they did not publish when or where they would actually show up. You just had to watch very, very carefully for cast members to start clearing an area. And it's like, Megan's, we're going right now, which was great. It caused a lot of traffic issues in the park because a lot of people would stop. So what they decided to do this year was to take that concept and turn it into a whole scare zone. So the Blumhouse area consisted of Ethan Hawke's character from The Black Phone. They had multiple purgers represented from each one of the Purge films. There was a Megan up on stage, but they very, very consistently kept people moving along, and you could not stop to watch her interact with her. And they had a few other characters like... there's a couple that I didn't really know real well. Like, what's that movie, Freaky, with Vince Vaughn and Catherine Newton, where they change bodies? They had her there, and one or two that I'm probably forgetting. But it wasn't decorated or anything. It was just these characters just kind of wandering around in the fog, or for the more popular ones like The Black Phone and Megan, up on a little stage where you could maybe snap a selfie as you walk by. So it wasn't as immersive as in years past. You didn't feel like you were entering an actual land to experience this. It was more like you were at a trade show, honestly, watching these, you know, different booths trying to sell themselves to you. So I like it, but I would have preferred something a little more immersive, considering the way the rest of HHN works. And then the final scare zone was the Demon Queens, which was actually Surreal's zone. So occasionally she would show up there, just like the other one who I already forgot the name again was in Sinister. Torture Fair. Sinister would occasionally go over to the Torture Fair. The Demon Queens consisted of 4 monster women up on a stage doing some kind of spell, and some weirdos wandering around jumping in your face, and it was fine. But yeah, I just wasn't impressed by the icons or the scare zones this year. It kind of felt phoned in, if I'm honest.
Don't sugarcoat it here.
Like, I appreciate the candor because there's a lot of background information that's still really like awesome. And I feel like your reasoning makes a lot of sense. And I wasn't there to experience it myself, but I feel like I could potentially fall into having a very similar reaction than you did. So,
I mean, you know, I don't want to sell the scare actors short or.
Yeah, right.
You know, the incredible people that designed these costumes and everything, just knowing what
they've done. Yeah. And what they've
done in the past. It wasn't to the pedigree that I expected.
Well, FOMO either way though.
So then moving on, we also talked about some of the rides had special layers. Were you able to experience any of those?
I'm curious about you saying that, because I've never noticed any special layovers for the rides. Oh. during HHN, there are select rides that are open and available for guests. This year, and I think it was the same last year, it was the four that you talked about. Men in Black, The Mummy, The Escape from Gringotts Bank, and Rip Ride Rocket were the four rides that were open. Rip Ride Rocket might have some additional music available, maybe some Halloween-themed tunes. I don't know. I'm too scared to ride that ride, so I couldn't tell you. But the other three were business as usual. We did ride The Mummy, and it was the same ride, the same great ride that it always is. I'm a big fan of that one. And John rode Rip Ride Rocket, but I believe he did the Black Parade as his anthem.
Oh, didn't see you there. Hey, so we had to break up this episode into two parts. Robbie just was so amazing and had so much information that we couldn't do it to y'all to have a two-hour episode. So we're splitting up into two parts. Stay tuned for part two of this Halloween Horror Nights episode later on this week. But while I have you here, don't forget to join our Mouse Ears Facebook group, TikTok page, and Instagram to stay up to date for all things travel, but mostly Disney. And if you're interested in having a Fairy Tale Journeys agent book your next trip, visit fairytalejourneys.com and let them know that the podcast sent you. Lastly, if you enjoy listening to our episodes, which I can't imagine you don't because they are amazing. We have such great guests and I have three of the most amazing co-hosts. But if you enjoy listening to us, we would love for you to leave us a review wherever you listen or watch us. Until the next episode, thanks everyone. Bye.